A reading from Hebrews 1, 1 through 4. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven, and so he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. The word of the Lord.
Happy New Year. All right. It's the last Sunday before 2025. And I think of some funny things about New Year's. When my kids were little, the Diary of a Wimpy Kid was coming out. Anybody know those books? I was lucky enough to get to read them to my kids. And there's this one episode where I think it's Greg. That's the Wimpy Kid's name, right? And we were the Wimpy Kid said, I think for my New Year's resolution, I'm going to help other people keep their New Year's resolutions. So we went around the house nagging people, and they really loved it. So wouldn't that be great if that was mine for you, right? It's the way to keep the bar low. My buddy Aaron from Oregon that I grew up with had the best New Year's resolution. It's pretty much what I'd want to take on every year. He says, my New Year's resolution is to not drink orange juice after I brush my teeth. Like, that's it. Reach for the stars. So we're moving into 2025, and the theme for the preaching for this next year is going to be what Jesus said, the red letters of Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew. And that'll take us all through 2025 and halfway through 2026. And that's why we're in Hebrews chapter 1 today. Really a similar passage to last week's passage, Colossians chapter 1. It talks about Jesus being the image of the invisible God. And if you're here, you remember the little make-believe story of an invisible father and the uncle sending a looking glass. And when everybody looked in the mirror, they could see what their father looked like. And Jesus is like that mirror. If you see Jesus, you see the Father. So if you want to hear what God has to say, listen to what Jesus has to say. That's the point of the scriptures that are read this morning and what I'll be preaching through. So although there could be a lot of time spent on the wonderful things this passage has to say about Jesus and his eminence and his authority, what I'll be focusing on is God's word, the way God speaks to us through Jesus. So these are the three points of the sermon. If you like to hear them or like to write them, whatever it is, I like to know that I know where I'm going eventually. Point number one, the last days. Point number two, the last word. And point number three, listen well. All right. My buddy Aaron, again, this friend I grew up with the toothpaste orange juice resolution, that guy, he went to Bible college in Eugene, Oregon, and I was going to college at the same time. I went and visited him in his college, and you may remember this story, but one of his friends had a dream, and he's like, I got to tell you about this crazy dream I had last night. I dreamt I was in heaven, and there was Moses and Abraham and Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and all the people from the Bible. And I was like, oh, what was it like when Jesus walked on water? What was it like when you parted the Red Sea? What was it like when you almost sacrificed your son? And they didn't answer any of my questions because they were looking at me intently and asking, what was it like to live in the last days? Oh, man. Everybody paid attention to that dream. Well, that was in the 90s. And here we are, 2024. And there have been generation after generation of Christians who believed in their heart, Jesus is coming now. Even when the Bible was being written, what does it mean in these last days in verse 2? He's spoken to us by his Son. Well, I researched the way that phrase last days appears in the Bible, and what I think it means in this setting, although it may be God's intention that all of us feel like we're living in a moment when Jesus could come at any time, I think actually that's good for us. What it means here is that these are the last days of the writing of the Bible. God speaking. The topic is God speaking. God spoke through the prophets in the past. That's how we got the Old Testament. Abraham, Moses, they were prophets. All the, you know, things that happened were filled with the prophetic message of God, who is explaining who He is, what our problem is, and how to be saved. Then, Jesus came. Jesus came, the final word, the word of God, the living word. In these last days means that the message of Jesus, the salvation of Jesus, is the last word of God's word. God's word is complete. There's not an Old Testament, and a New Testament, and a Third Testament, and a Fourth Testament. When the writer of Hebrews was writing, the testimony about Jesus and the gospel that he preached was the last expression of God's word for God's people. We can have all kinds of good books about the Bible, and there could be good books written between the Old Testament and New Testament. There can be all kinds of thoughts and all kinds of expressions, but God's word to us is complete in the gospel of Jesus. So what that means is, as it says, but in these last days, God has spoken through His Son. There's an expression that the Son, Jesus, is the clearest message. If you want to know what God looks like, what God sounds like, what God is like, look at Jesus. And therefore, when we look back at the Old Testament, now we understand. Now that Jesus has expressed Himself. After He rose from the dead, He spent 40 days teaching about the kingdom of God. He walked, I think it was 12 miles to the village of Emmaus with His disciples, explaining, look, this is what had to happen with the Messiah, all through the Old Testament. So now we understand when Abraham looked up and God said, go ahead and count those stars, and he was as good as dead, as the Bible says, unable to have a child. His wife was past childbearing years. It's all he ever wanted with all his soul, because God put that in his heart. The stars are right there. You are the stars that Abraham saw. He saw Gentiles. He saw the nation of Israel. And not just the nation of Israel, but the whole world. Anyone, whosoever believes in me, will not perish but have eternal life, Jesus said. Now we understand the stars that Abraham saw. Now we understand crossing over the River Jordan into the Promised Land. A lot of old spirituals, a lot of old hymns sing about this. Crossing over Jordan means I'm going into heaven. I'm going into the presence of God, the Promised Land. The Promised Land is where the presence of God lives. It's not just a piece of real estate the size of New Jersey halfway across the world that everybody always wants to fight over. It's our eternal life. And now we understand what crossing over the Jordan means. Now we understand what the blessings of the covenant mean. If you keep this covenant, if you're faithful to me, you'll be the head and not the tail. Okay, raise your hand if you know what year it is. 2024. So far, so good. There's always that check that you write with the wrong year on it, right about this time of year. Well, when I was a kid, back long, long ago, before the internet, when I was a kid, everything that was below zero in the year was called B.C., before Christ. And everything that's after zero was called A.D., which is Latin, Anno Domini, which means the year of our Lord. The year Jesus was born was year zero. Now, there may be a country or society somewhere that is in year 6042 or something that I don't know about. But as far as I know, with all the religions of the world and everything, it's 2024. That's why it's a little embarrassing, you know, in this pluralistic world, and why it was changed from B.C. to BCE, before Common Era. Well, let me tell you, what makes it common is Jesus. That's why it's common. The Common Era is Jesus. The numbers are Jesus. That's an illustration of the fact that God's church, God's kingdom, is the head and not the tail. Even though the 20th century had more Christians put to death for their faith than every century combined, it's still expanding. The kingdom of God is expanding. The blessings of God's faithful covenant are being lived out in Jesus, because Jesus was faithful to the covenant. You want to understand the Old Testament? Look in the face of Jesus. It will help you understand. Now, we are in the last days. That's what that means. We have what God intended to give. We have Jesus. And Jesus is the last word. Now, in John 17:17, Jesus is praying for his disciples. He prays, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. in verse 3 of this chapter that we just read, it says, after he provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty of the majesty in heaven. So it expresses that the work of Jesus, Jesus is talked about in this passage as God's communication to us. The work of God's communication was to purify us from our sins. So God's word is the word that purifies us. God spoke all creation into existence, and he spoke a word through the cross to say, you are now clean. Jesus didn't cast out spirits that were called aggravating spirits or bad spirits. They could have been called that. They were called unclean spirits. The Old Testament, the Jewish people of Jesus' time saw everything in two categories, clean and unclean. And the one thing they needed to be was clean. They needed to be able to enter God's holy presence. Jesus speaks a word to us from the cross that makes us clean. What he spoke was, it is finished. The work of purification is done for you. That's the message of the cross. So because of what the cross speaks that makes us pure, we know these things. We know that God wants us to be good. God wants us to be clean. God wants us to be pure. If you want to start a good religious argument or cultural argument, bring up the question, are people basically good or evil? Maybe you'll have a group think on one side or maybe a group think on the other, but typically it'll start a good ruckus. I can't really, solve that argument problem, but I can tell you something that is more quick to bring agreement, and that is that everybody wants to be good. If your soul is functioning right, if you haven't been so damaged in your infancy and in your development that your personality is distorted to the point that you have no conscience and you're psychotic. If you have a normal soul as God created it to have, you want to be good. You want to be good. And what the cross says is God says to you, I want that even more than you. I want it so much. I'm willing to send my son to die for you. And the Son says, I want that so much, I'm willing to die for you. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. The joy of you being good, being purified. God wants that. That's God's desire. You can rest in that. The cross says, it's yours. It's a gift. You can have it. I want it for you. If God wants it for you, who's bigger than God to knock it out of your hand? The cross also says you're worth it to him. I mean, if you think about the distance between God and us in terms of excellence or glory, it's like a boy dying for a goldfish, a little kid with a pet. It'd be a terrible injustice for a kid to die for their pet. Who are we that God should value us so much that he would die for us? Now, some say, Jesus knew he'd be raised from the dead, so it was just a walk in the park for him. You can't think like that, because in order for Jesus to die on the cross for us, he had to take up our flesh. And when he rose, he showed Thomas his scars. And he rose to heaven like that. He did something eternal for us. He took on our sufferings and entered into our world. He became one of us, and he died the way we die, but with more terror and more pain than hopefully any of us will ever experience. For reasons that explain things we can't understand, Jesus said, you're worth it. And that leads to the next thing that the cross says to us, and that is God is very generous. God's a generous God. Praise God. He's a generous God. I pray he meets all your needs. He knows what your needs are, and he's generous. Those are things that we need to remember from the cross. Of course, the cross tells us we're, before we're purified, we're a wreck. We're sinful. We're not pure. We're not clean. Clean, unclean. Unclean spirits, those are bad. Unclean me, that's not good. But the message of the cross is that God wants me to be good. It's worth it to him, and he's generous enough to do it. Because of this good word that God has given us through Christ, we ought to be listeners. We ought to listen. The Transfiguration in Matthew 17, Jesus was up on the mountain with a few of his disciples, and he turned just the way he's spoken about in Hebrews chapter 1. Brilliant, glorious, radiant. as bright as lightning. And then the Father's voice said from heaven, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him. Listen to him." This is God's communication. Jesus is God's communication. Listen to him. So to listen to him, I recommend that we read him, that we heed him, and that we need him. I got little preacher triads all over the place this morning. Read him, heed him, and need him. Read him, meaning he said things, they're in the New Testament. You know, the apostles, the witnesses, the people that were with Jesus, that heard him teach, recorded what he said faithfully with plenty of eyewitnesses that could have contradicted what they've said. It's not like a game of telephone where somebody hears, "Blessed are the cheesemakers," and it comes out, "Blessed are the peacemakers." You know, it wasn't like that. There were checks and balances. There were witnesses. People were there. It's like in Haines. There are all kinds of legendary stories about the people of yesteryear, from the 60s, the 70s, the 40s, the 50s, and the things that they did. And you can hear the stories circulate. You can hear different people tell the same stories about certain characters and what they did. Because they were there, or their grandparents were there, or their parents were there. Well, when the New Testament was being written, there were eyewitnesses present who could have contradicted the things that were written. What is said in the New Testament, Jesus spoke. And you can have confidence in it. And you can listen to God through those words. So, read the red letters of the Bible. But I also commend to you to read Jesus the way you read a person. Read into his actions. What kind of person does that? What kind of person says to this foreigner, you know, "It's not right to give to the dogs the children's bread"? Is it the same person who opened the eyes of the blind and was so gracious and merciful? Yes, and you understand, if you read Jesus, then you understand what he meant when he said that. He was given the opportunity to show that she's also going to become a child of Abraham, that she's going to receive the children's bread. That's how I'm here today. Read into Jesus. What kind of person turns over the tables at the temple? And what kind of person says to Mary, "Sit at my feet and learn like a disciple"? What is God's heart that's shown in the things that Jesus did? Read him the way you read a person. But you also need to heed him. If you ever been a kid and you ever had a parent say, "Now you listen to me," did you think for 1 minute, "Oh, mom or dad needs a friend. They want to be heard. Okay, I'll reflect back to you what you said. You're feeling a little anxious because the floor needs to be mopped. Oh, I'm sorry. That must be very hard for you." That's not what mama's thinking. She's saying, "You get in there and mop that floor or you're not going out to play on your scooter." Sometimes we need to listen to Jesus. All the time we need to listen to Jesus the same way. He's our king to be heeded. He's to be obeyed. But we also need to listen to Jesus like we need him. At the time of Christ, people were walking for miles. They were coming from far away to hear him teach and receive his healing and his ministry, to hear the word of God. In our day, on social media, we've got hit, like, and subscribe, right? I don't have all of the Instagram, but I watch YouTube videos because it's convenient, you know? And sometimes somebody that's got a channel will say, "Smash that subscribe button, hit that like button, you know? Help us get more views." And when you do, it means that you're going to see the next video they put out. And the next video they put out. So subscribe to Jesus. Be after him. Seek after him. Be ready. Be attentive. What's the next thing he has to say to you? When's he going to say something next? When am I going to hear from him again? When can I open the Bible and have enough presence of mind to hear him talking to me? When can I go to church and hear him preaching about the red letters of Jesus? Seek after him. Need him. Desire him. Pursue him. Seek God's face. That's a way to listen, to be attentive. So I'm going to land the plane rather abruptly here and just bring us right into the challenge, all right? Sort of a New Year's resolution kind of concept, giving you the challenge of what to do next. I challenge you to go to church in 2025. We spent a whole year, 2024, saying how to go to church. You're an expert at it by now. And if you need to pray for better health, or pray for, you know, favorable work conditions, is there a way that the Lord can bring you even more? Like, some of you, you'll have to get a key, because anytime the church is open, you're already here. But maybe you got a chance to come even more. or to spread that message to somebody else who hasn't come in a long time. Maybe God will use you. So come to church and hear about Jesus speaking in Matthew's gospel, the red letters of Jesus. That's one challenge. Another is, if you can, either on a Wednesday or on a Thursday, come in and hear Jesus speaking through the Practicing the Way course. That's a challenge. Here's a final challenge, and if it's not for you, it may be for you to carry to somebody else. But the word of God through Jesus is the word that says, come and follow me. Forsake everything. Jesus is the treasure buried in a field that somebody gave up everything they had to buy that field. Jesus spoke to a rich man who had kept all the commandments and said, you lack one thing, sell everything you have and come and be my disciple. If you've never given your all, whole heart to surrendering to Jesus as he really is, the Lord of heaven and earth and the only Savior, and if you've never just made him the foundation of your life, accepted him and asked him to come and take over your life and live in your heart, I challenge you to do that, because that's what the word of God is saying to you. That's God's message. That's the message of the last days. That's his last word. He wants us to have salvation. So may the Lord bless you with grace as you hear the words of Jesus and follow him this year and always. Amen.